Thanks, Sam. It's good to be back tonight, and I appreciate Juan filling in this morning while I was away. I was over at Waco this morning with the New Road Church of Christ, and they were celebrating their 9th anniversary in their new building, and the congregation used to be called the Waco South Church, and had been in existence for a long, long time, moved to a new location. About 9 years ago, I had the opportunity to be with them in a gospel meeting, really on two different occasions, and I was gratified by having the invitation to go back and be with them this morning. But I appreciate Juan for preaching this morning while I was gone. Juan is a student up in Fort Worth at Brown Trail School of Preaching. He probably shared all that information with you this morning, or Dale did. But at any rate, we appreciate him and his initiative, his drive, his eagerness to learn and to preach and teach the Word of God. Juan had told me earlier in the week that this would be the second time that he had ever delivered a gospel message in English. So I just want you to know tonight, I thought I would do this in Spanish. No, I'm teasing. I would find that very difficult tonight. But anyway, it is good to be back with you, and I appreciate all of you being here tonight. It's been a wonderful day. It certainly was there, and with the baptism this morning of the young girl, the granddaughter, I think it is, of Dwayne Hagemeyer, and that's great. That's wonderful. You know, so many of us in life are people that believe that certain sins will keep us out of heaven. But few believe that our attitude will keep us from going to the celestial city. But I want to speak tonight on the subject of attitude. You know, many times Christians, as I say, have failed to realize just how important having the right attitude is. And sometimes we say of other people that he has an attitude or she has an attitude. And what we're really saying is that they have an attitude that we don't like. It's not so much that they have an attitude. We all have attitudes. But what we're saying is that I don't like her attitude or I don't like his attitude. Attitude is the posture or the position, if you will, of a person showing or meant to show a mental state, their emotion, or their mood. And Webster defines it this way. It is the manner of acting. It is the manner of feeling, of thinking, and shows one's disposition or their opinion in life. There are numerous passages in the Bible that really become descriptive, I think, of the kind of attitude that you and I ought to have in life. I like to be around people with what I consider to have a good attitude. People that are not hypercritical of other people, people that are not cynical, but people that enjoy life and reflect that in the way that they live. It's even reflected sometimes even in the smile on your face when the corners of your mouth are turned upward. Someone said that smiling is infectious. You catch it like you do the flu. And when someone smiled at me today, I started smiling too. I passed around the corner and someone saw my grin. And when he smiled, I realized I had passed it on to him. I thought about that smile, then I realized its worth. A single smile just like mine could travel all the way around the earth. So if you feel a smile begin, don't leave it undetected. Let's start an epidemic quick and get the world infected. And you know, it's true, isn't it? You know, someone sang a song a number of years ago entitled, "Smile and the World Smiles Back at You," and it is true. A smile is the same in any language, and it does reflect, I think, the kind of attitude that should live and permeate our very life every day. Attitudes are important in getting along with other people. Few people, I don't know about you, but I know how I feel about it. But I really believe that few people like to be around someone who is always complaining. Have you ever been around? Now, you may live with someone like that tonight. Please don't look at them. But I know one thing. There are people in this world that live with a mate that is constantly complaining or berating. And that's not a good thing. We have to be a people that build one another up, a people that encourage one another, a people that stimulate and provoke one another to a better way of living. We have to get rid, if you will, of the bad attitudes. I get nervous when I get around people that really can't control their anger and have a bad attitude. You're always wondering what they're going to say next and what eruption is going to happen over the next few moments. Attitudes are often a catalyst, if you will, for divorce. Attitudes are catalysts for church division, believe it or not. Many churches split and fragment and polarize and divide just simply over bad attitudes of those within the body of Christ that should not be reflected among those of us who are God's children. We have to get rid of it. Attitudes are hard to change, but they must be changed if we expect to conform ourselves to the will of God. Now, let me talk just a little bit tonight about some of the attitudes that I really believe that need to be changed. And I think if you really listen to what I'm saying tonight, and I hope you do, I hope you don't just let it go in one ear and out the other, but I hope you really think about what I'm saying, because it is biblical. I think there are attitudes that need to be changed. One of them certainly has to be the attitude of ingratitude. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2 through 5, the Apostle Paul, who had a great attitude, and if you look at Paul's life, you see that demonstratively shown throughout his life. And Paul, in this particular text, where he's writing to Timothy, lists a category of sin. And one of them was just simply the sin of being ungrateful. And he writes about it also to the Roman church over in Romans chapter 1. When he talks about all those horrendous sins, he includes the fact that they are unthankful. You know, we all get thankful around Thanksgiving. For some reason or another, we feel that that's the only time of the year that we ought to express gratitude. And you know, we just really step out there and we say, well, you know, Thanksgiving is coming up. And Thanksgiving means very little to folks other than the fact that maybe you might be having chicken and dressing on the table or ham or something of that nature, and maybe you get together as a family, and sometimes when you get together as a family, there are always squabbles and fusses that erupt, and you know, you don't really look forward to Christmas because you know it's going to happen again. Well, we need to get rid of the attitude of ingratitude. Some people go through life never ever appreciating what they have, but they're always dissatisfied with everything and everybody. They are. But Christians can often show ingratitude themselves. Let me ask you a question tonight. We sing that old song, Count Your Many Blessings, Name Them One by One. Do you ever do that? We like that song again around Thanksgiving, but how many times daily do we count our blessings? You are so blessed. Now, whether you believe that or not or accept it tonight, you just weigh yourself against everybody else. But you know what? You don't even have to do that. When you stop and think about how good God is to you every day, you are blessed. You are blessed with the privilege of being able to be here tonight to hear the Word of God. You're blessed to be able to move about, bodily speaking, because there are many who are bedfast. You are able to hear the sound of my voice. There are others who cannot hear. You are blessed because you can see the dawn of a new day and a sunset at the end of that day. And when you can envision that and see that, you are blessed. You are. Ignoring their responsibilities, some people do. They do, and they're so ungrateful. When I think about the opportunity even to come and worship God, there are many people that do not take advantage of that blessing and that privilege that God has given to us. There are many that would love to be here tonight. When I go to the nursing home and I hear people talk, I miss church so much. I wish that I could come. And you know what? Nothing is so important to us as much until it is taken away. And then we begin to appreciate it. I have seen women who did not appreciate their husbands until they're taken out of the picture. I have seen wives or husbands who did not appreciate their wives until they're taken out of the picture. Or maybe the loss of a child, and you would think in your mind, I wish that I had spent more time with them and be thankful for them. Sometimes people complain too much. And it is a reflection, I think, of a bad attitude, an attitude of ungratefulness. But then there's another attitude, I think, that often needs to be changed, and that is the attitude of selfishness. You know, we live in a selfish world. We do. Everybody thinks about self. People always ask the question, they go to apply for a job. It's like, you know, what's in it for me? You know, people used to say, what can I do to make this a better company? Or what can I do to be a better employee? It is not, what can you do for me? Husbands and wives are often too busy trying to figure out what they can get out of a relationship instead of what they can put into the relationship. You know, it would dramatically change your life if you stopped to think, what can I do in terms of making a contribution to this relationship? In Philippians chapter 2, the Bible says that we are to think on the things of others and not on the things of ourselves. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus our Lord, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made of himself a form of a servant, and he took upon himself that form, and he was made in the likeness of men. And he humbled himself, and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And because of it, God hath highly exalted him, and hath given him a name which is above every name in the world. You know, one of the reasons that God said to Satan in the Old Testament of Job, have you considered my servant Job? God was proud of Job. Job had the right attitude. And God took delight in him. He was unselfish. He wasn't self-seeking. But he was more concerned about his family and about others than he was himself. We live in a selfish world, so selfish that we don't even think about God. Not only are we selfish with one another and to one another, but we're selfish when it comes to God. It is true. When people choose to go somewhere else instead of being in the fellowship with God in His church, is that not selfishness? Is that not selfishness toward God? It is true. When we feel that we have to leave God out, that's selfishness, folks. Let me tell you something. God should not be in the platform. God is the platform. And the Bible in the book of 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11 says that other foundation can no man lay which is laid in Christ Jesus. Can't compare to the rock of ages, folks. Can't. But we are so selfish. We are. But there's another attitude that we need to get rid of and we need to conquer. And that is the attitude of stubbornness. Do you know people that are stubborn or not? I know a lot of folks that are stubborn. There again, don't look at your wife or your husband. Please don't do that. That would be embarrassing tonight. But some people are just stubborn. Mule-headed. I heard about a mother one time who repeatedly told her little boy to sit down. And the boy continued to stand up, disobeying his mother. And the mother just walked over and got him and plopped him down in a chair. And the boy said, I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. Do you know there are a lot of people just like that? Some people just cannot admit that they are wrong. In the book of Deuteronomy 9 and verse 27, the Bible says of the Israelites that their sin at Mount Sinai was due to their own stubbornness. Moses had gone up to receive the law of God, and when he received the law of God and he came back down, he found that they were committing all manner of evil. They were corrupt because of their stubbornness. They refused the will of God. In Judges chapter 2 and verse 19. I can tell you this passage reflects the thought that following God means that we can't stubbornly hold on to our old lives. Even in the book of Romans chapter 2, the Gentiles who were privileged of salvation which was in Christ in the New Testament, the New Covenant, because Jesus died for all men. But the Jews would not admit that the Gentiles would have right to salvation because of their stubbornness. And we have a lot of stubbornness, a lot of prejudice in our world. People that are prejudiced toward the church. People that are prejudiced toward another race. Blacks that are prejudiced toward whites. And whites that are prejudiced toward blacks. And Hispanics. And we can go on and on and on. Stubbornness. It is a refusal to accept the will of God. But then fourthly, there's another attitude we need to conquer, and that is the attitude of discontent. Now, there's nothing wrong with aspiring to better oneself, but it must be tempered with contentment. It means that you don't step on everybody else to get where you want to be. It doesn't mean you climb somebody else's ladder to get to where you want to arrive. But sometimes people are so discontent in life. They are. They're never happy with what they have. They're always unhappy, and they're looking for just, you know, something else all the time to satisfy their egotism or to satisfy their discontent in life. Paul says, I have learned, Philippians chapter 4, that in whatever state I am in, to be content. He said, I know what it is to be hungry. I've been without food like many of you. But he said, I also know what it is to have plenty, just like you have experienced it. And Paul says, I don't become disillusioned and my faith is not shaken simply because maybe there are moments in my life when I do not have. It is then that I go to God and I thank Him for all the blessings that I've had previous. You know, I just suppose probably in my mind's eye tonight as I read the Bible that probably God is more concerned with people that are discontent than anything else. And then there is, if you will, that envious attitude that people often possess. You ever been envious of someone else? We jestingly say that to one another. We say, oh, I'm so envious of you. But you know, down deep in our hearts, sometimes we become extremely envious one of another. I read the story the other day that reflects what I'm really talking about here tonight. There was a man by the name of John. Had a brother named Jim. John dropped out of high school when he was 17 and began to work at the local factory. His parents had urged him to remain in high school so he could get a diploma. However, at the time, John thought school was just a lot of foolishness, like a lot of kids. Later, he married a local young woman, and eventually they had three children. And for 20 years, John had worked long, hard hours at the plant and had very little to show for it. He never went back to school and got his GED. In fact, he had done very little to improve himself. And consequently, he turned into a bitter, miserable human being. But in contrast, his brother Jim had remained in school and even continued into college, receiving a degree in business management. He was the plant manager at the plant where John worked. Now, Jim and his wife owned a very beautiful home and had a lovely family. Every time John saw his brother at the plant, he was filled with hatred and animosity and envy. So much that he even hated his brother, Jim. John didn't think that it was fair for his younger brother to do so much better than he had done in life. But he did. Jim would always try to stop by John's station and speak with him. But John, why, John always looked the other way, refusing to speak. Now, folks, that's envy. And you know what? We're the same way. When we feel that someone else has been a little bit more successful in life than we are, you know what we ought to do? We ought to thank God for those people. We ought to thank God that they had the initiative and the drive to get to where they are. You don't, I have learned in life, you don't become successful sitting on your bohunkas. You don't. You get up and you get motivated and you start doing what you know you ought to do. And if somebody has that proclivity in life to do it, I praise God for them. I'm going to tell you something. I thank God for successful people. I do. But sometimes people become very envious. And I think that is an attitude that needs to be changed, folks. Envy, in reality, is feeling sorry for yourself and having hard feelings toward others who are more fortunate than you. Consider the envy that erupted between Cain and Abel. I say between them. It really was the result of Cain's attitude toward his brother. Now, we don't have any evidence at all that Abel had any animosity toward his brother Cain. But the Bible says in the passing of time that God prevailed upon Cain and Abel to offer a sacrifice unto God. Now, get the difference between the attitudes. I've already told you earlier that the attitude of giving is the attitude that we ought to possess. And so when Abel offers his sacrifice according to faith, and the book of Hebrews says that he offered it in faith. And God had respect unto Abel's sacrifice. But Cain didn't offer it in faith. He was stubborn. He was rebellious. He was selfish. He had an attitude of envy. And then he gets so envious that he takes it out on his brother. To the point that he takes his life. And he feels no remorse over what he's done. And when God comes to deal with him, he said to Cain very abruptly, I want you to know that the blood of your brother cries to me from the very ground. I don't know whether Cain buried him or what happened to him. I don't know. But he says, your hands have shed innocent blood. And that blood cries to me from the ground. God first asked him a rhetorical question. You remember that question was, where is your brother? I say rhetorical because it was a rhetoric on the part of God. God knew where he was. God knows all things. He says, where is your brother? And Cain flippantly says, am I my brother's keeper? Am I my brother's keeper? Why are you asking me? And then he says, the blood of your brother cries to me from the ground. You know, I fear sometimes that probably has been played out many, many times in our world. People, because of envy, have killed others. We know that that happened because of the Lord being the Son of God. The Bible says that they crucified him out of envy. Jealousy. And it is an attitude that ought to be conquered in life. And you know what? If we spent more time giving to each other, ourselves, less selfishness on our part, not thinking so much about what other people ought to be doing for me, but what I can do for them, the world would be a whole lot better place. We would experience the greater blessing and the greater joy. than sitting back waiting for someone to do for us. There was a woman one time who attended a meeting at which her former high school music teacher was present. The two began to talk about the distant past and their teacher-student relationship. "I have always remembered fondly that you gave me that extra time that I needed and that encouragement," the student said. "I was so inspired by you that I decided to continue my music education and in college, go to college and graduate from school. Now I am a college professor and the head of the entire music department." Later, as they said their goodbyes, the teacher said, "Thank you for saying all of those nice things about me and what I have done for you in teaching you. You have made my day." And the woman replied, "Oh no, let me thank you, for you have made my life." You know, if we just exercised a little good judgment, we could know the right attitude to have in every situation. The poet said, "Can you say today in parting, with the day that's slipping fast, that you've helped a single person of the many that you have passed? Did you waste a day or lose it? Was it well or poorly spent? Did you leave a trail of kindness or a scar of discontent? As you close your eyes in slumber, do you think that God would say, why, you've made the world much better for the life that you've lived today?" I hope that our attitude is all that God wants it to be. And I hope, you know, we jestingly say to one another they need an attitude adjustment. But if the truth were known, there are times when we all need attitude adjustments. We need to get our attitude right. Someone said appropriately, and it's true, and you've heard me say it before, but it is true, that our attitude will determine our altitude. Whether we go to heaven, it is true, will be based upon our attitude. Do you know much more is said in reality, indirectly, in the Bible about one's attitude than anything else? It's true. Let the mind or the attitude of Jesus be in you. And I hope it's something that every one of us will endeavor to possess. And when we possess that attitude of Jesus, life will be better. Now, you may tonight have a bad attitude towards someone. You might. I hope you don't. But it's possible. Maybe you've been stubborn. Maybe you've been selfish toward others. Maybe you've had the attitude of ungratefulness. And maybe tonight, as you reflect upon that and you realize that, hey, my attitude isn't right, I hope you'll get it right. And we're going to stand here in a moment and sing a song of encouragement. And if you need to come to Jesus to get that attitude right, and I'm going to tell you something, folks, it's never too early to do that. Tomorrow may be too late to stand in the face of the God who loves you with an attitude that you really wanted to change but never took the time and never had the intestinal fortitude to change. I hope you have that tonight. If you're not a Christian, you can humbly come to Christ in obedience to His gospel by repenting of sin, believing on Christ to be the Son of God, and acknowledging that with your lip tonight and with your tongue. The Bible says the mouth is made, the confession is made unto salvation, and by being baptized for the remission of your sin. But that is a choice that all of us make. We choose our attitude. We choose our relationship with God. I hope it's the choice that you'll make tonight while we stand and as we sing.